Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
In Mormonism, what is the priesthood? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you've talked to a Latter-day Saint for any amount of time, the word priesthood has probably come up in the conversation. This can be very confusing to those of us who are on the outside of the Mormon Church. So today we're going to be looking at both chapters 13 and 14 in the correlated manual titled Gospel Principles, published in 2009. And hopefully by the end of this show, we can explain to you a little bit more about what this important office is in Mormonism. Chapter 13 begins on page 67.
Underneath the heading, What is the Priesthood? It says, "The priesthood is the eternal power and authority of God. Through the priesthood, he created and governs the heavens and the earth. By this power, the universe is kept in perfect order. Through this power, he accomplishes his work in glory, which is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man."
I find that interesting in that first sentence. The priesthood is the eternal power and authority of God. Now, the reason why that stood out for me is because even though Mormonism teaches that God is an eternal being, humans are also. And just because they might talk about God, the eternal Father, he was not eternally the Father, nor was he eternally God. So what we get from this idea that the priesthood is the eternal power and authority of God, the priesthood actually precedes the divinity of the Mormon God. He has to work through this priesthood that was there before he became God, or this priesthood that was there when, according to Joseph Smith, he was once a man like us. I find that interesting because it shows that God didn't really create this priesthood, although it's important to Mormons. It actually preceded him before he became God. But by this power, the universe is kept in perfect order, and through this power, he accomplishes his work and glory. Just as God needs the priesthood to accomplish his work and glory, so too do human beings need this priesthood.
Well, that begs a question. Does the priesthood need God as God needs the priesthood?
Great question.
Next paragraph, it says, "Our Heavenly Father delegates his priesthood power to worthy male members of the church. The priesthood enables them to act in God's name for the salvation of the human family."
Again, this goes to this idea that you need this priesthood if you hope to have salvation. And salvation in this context would not be general salvation or resurrection from the dead necessarily. This is talking about exaltation. You need to have that priesthood authority if you hope to have exaltation. What did Joseph Fielding Smith say about that?
In Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 3, page 132, he said, "There is no exaltation in the kingdom of God without the fullness of the priesthood. Every man who is faithful and will receive these ordinances and blessings obtains a fullness of the priesthood. And the Lord has said that, quote, he makes them equal in power and in might and in dominion," end quote.
This goes along with what Spencer Kimball also said. This is found in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president of the Mormon Church. On page 51, it reads, "Men require priesthood for exaltation. No man will ever reach godhood who does not hold the priesthood. You have to be a member of the higher priesthood, an elder, 70, or high priest, and today is the day to get it and magnify it." You know what's interesting about that statement is, prior to 1978, if you were a member of the Mormon Church of African heritage, you might want to desire it, but you couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't allowed to hold the priesthood as a part of your punishment for not being as valiant as you could have been in the pre-existent world. And that's what Mormon leaders did teach prior to 1978. I know perfectly well that now the Mormon Church acts as if they have no idea why blacks couldn't hold the priesthood, but there's enough evidence out there to show that that was one of the reasons why they could not hold this priesthood authority.
it continues on and says, through it, they can be authorized to preach the gospel, administer the ordinances of salvation, and govern God's kingdom on earth.
What is that telling us? Basically, what it's saying is, if you don't have the priesthood, you don't have authority. And that is one of the primary reasons why Mormons believe in this great apostasy. They believe that that authority was lost and the authority needed to be restored. Spencer W. Kimball, in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 494, he says something very similar to what you just read, Eric, but he goes on a little bit more.
Presumptuous and blasphemous are they who purport to baptize, bless, marry, or perform other sacraments in the name of the Lord while in fact lacking his specific authorization. And no one can obtain God's authority from reading the Bible or just from a desire to serve the Lord, no matter how pure his motives.
Presumptuous and blasphemous are they who purport to baptize, bless, marry, or perform other sacraments in the name of the Lord while in fact lacking his specific authorization.
But Mormons claim to be Christian and make it sound like we're Christians too, so we're kind of the same family.
I think if you really look closely at the teachings of the leadership and what they've said about that, you will find that there is a huge chasm separating us. Normally, when we find Mormons saying that they're Christians just like us, you'll notice it's normally on a lay level. This is not something that we see the leadership saying. And when the leaders, such as Spencer Kimball, is saying something like, presumptuous and blasphemous are those who perform sacraments in the name of the Lord or bless or marry, he's talking about every single Christian pastor you can imagine.
Who does not hold the Mormon priesthood because it was taken away at the great apostasy, as you mentioned, and so therefore we don't have any authority.
Exactly. That's exactly what they would believe. Now, going into chapter 14, where it talks about priesthood organization, it talks about two divisions of priesthood. And this is, I think, where it gets a little bit confusing if you start looking at what Mormon leaders have said about the priesthood since the beginning of the LDS Church. It says here that there are two divisions in the priesthood. Now, Joseph Fielding Smith said that there was only one priesthood divided in two divisions. But yet the Doctrine and Covenants in section 107, verse 1, actually said there are two priesthoods, a greater and a lesser. Orson Pratt, who was a Mormon apostle during the time of Brigham Young, also said there were two priesthoods. I don't know if that's really a big deal. I can understand where they're going to say there's one priesthood, it's divided into two. That's exactly what the manual says on page 73. What does it say there under the subheading two divisions of priesthood?
It says the priesthood is divided into two parts, the Melchizedek priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood. The first, and this is quoting from DNC 107.1, the first is called the Melchizedek priesthood because Melchizedek was such a great high priest.
We do read about a priest in the Old Testament named Melchizedek, but folks, you would be hard-pressed to find anywhere in the Bible where it specifically outlines what Mormons believe to be a Melchizedek priesthood. You don't find that in the Old Testament, and you certainly don't find it in the New. You do read about Jesus being a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Hebrews 7.
But we do not find any specific mention of Peter, James, and John holding the priesthood, yet according to Mormon lore, it was Peter, James, and John who returned to give the priesthood to Joseph Smith. If they didn't have it, how could they give it? It's purely an assumption on the part of Mormons. There's certainly no biblical text to support that assumption.
Yeah, we call that an argument from silence, when you have to make something up that's not in the text.
It goes on page 73, that says that it was named after Melchizedek, but out of respect or reverence to the name of the Supreme Being, to avoid the too frequent repetition of his name, they, the church, in ancient days called the priesthood after Melchizedek or the Melchizedek priesthood. Notice, Eric, the reference given is Doctrine and Covenants, section 107. There certainly isn't any reference out of the Bible because there are no references in the Bible that would support such an idea. But that last paragraph at the bottom of page 73,
it says, the lesser priesthood is an appendage to the Melchizedek priesthood. It is called the Aaronic priesthood because it was conferred on Aaron and his sons throughout all their generations. Those who hold the Aaronic priesthood have authority to minister the outward ordinances of the sacrament and baptism.
Now, I want to talk about that sentence. It says, it is called the Aaronic priesthood because it was conferred on Aaron and his sons throughout all their generations. According to Numbers 3:10, it was reserved for the sons of Aaron. In fact, if you were not a son of Aaron, you were not authorized to hold this Aaronic priesthood.
Yeah, Numbers 3:10 says, appoint Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Anyone else who approaches the sanctuary is to be put to death.
So my question to our LDS listeners would be, if you hold the Aaronic priesthood, are you really a son of Aaron? Are you a literal descendant of Aaron? If you are not, according to the Old Testament, you're presumptuous in holding that type of a position or that title. Certainly, you do not have the authority to hold that title. And it goes along with Doctrine and Covenant, section 68, verses 18 through 20. It reads very similar to Numbers 3:10. You would think with this being in the unique Mormon scriptures that they would understand this prohibition against anyone outside of the family of Aaron of holding such a position as the Aaronic priesthood, but apparently they've made some kind of excuse in order for him to do that. But again, I would say they do not have biblical authority to do that. On page 75, it lists the offices and duties of the Aaronic priesthood, and we're just going to go through those very quickly for time's sake, but there are various titles of people within the Aaronic priesthood.
Well, they have a deacon who's a young man that's been baptized and is 12 years of age. Then they go on with a teacher, another worthy young man who is 14 years of age, and then a priest, and he's 16. So every 2 years they have a new office, and then finally they have the bishop who's ordained and set apart to preside over the Aaronic priesthood and award.
And then in the offices and duties of the Melchizedek priesthood, we have the title of elder, and this would include, of course, all the male missionaries that we see coming to our doors. Elders are called to teach, expound, exhort, baptize, and watch over the church, and this references Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 42. Then it mentions the high priest. And it says that stake presidents, mission presidents, high counselors, bishops, and other leaders of the church are ordained high priests. Why does that seem so odd to us as Christians?
Because they have multiple high priests when the Bible talked about only having one high priest.
And certainly there was Annas and Caiaphas, but we know that during the time of Jesus that had all been politicized. And so even though Annas and Caiaphas were both called high priests, really only one of them held that authority of the high priest, even though the other one had been removed from that office.
There's also the patriarch who gives patriarchal blessings to members of the church. They have 70s who are special witnesses of Jesus, and they regulate the church under the first presidency. And they have the apostle who the apostles administer the affairs of the church throughout the world. And the senior apostle is the president of the church.
And of course, that senior apostle currently serving in the LDS Church would be Thomas S. Monson.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have dozens of articles and video resources that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live weekend presentation. Remember, we're here to equip the body of Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, that's MRM.org.